Holy Ghost, I worship you. I thank you for this opportunity to give tithes and offerings. I thank you that you receive them. We give them in faith, and that you open the windows of heaven and have an opening for us into our finances and bless us. We receive it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 10, what's a good verse here? Do you see it?
22.
Very nice. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22, the blessing. Is that good?
Yes.
You want the curse or the blessing?
Blessing?
The blessing. I'll take that, thank you. The blessing of the Lord. In our day and age, we know that means the Holy Ghost. He's God in the earth today. The blessing of the Lord, it makes poor and sorry. Is that what it makes? So you're telling me, I hope you're not telling me that if God blesses you, the end of the blessing is to be made rich. Is that what you're telling me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good news then, isn't it?
It is.
That's not bad news. That's the gospel.
Amen.
The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. That's even better. He makes you rich. Say, he
makes you rich
by blessing you.
You
see that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I was meditating on this, as I want to do, meditate on scriptures, I believe the Lord began to speak to me about this blessing, and he said it's unstoppable in its pursuit. The blessing will come on you, and you may be all messed up. You may all be goofy. But the blessing that comes on you is unstoppable, unshakable. Say unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Unshakable.
Unshakable.
In its pursuit of making you rich. That's what the blessing is there for. Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
The blessing of the Lord, it what? It makes rich. So as long as the blessing there, it's still its job on you is to make you rich. You know, you hear about, you know, like the Godfather. You ever heard of that? You know, and somebody be made. It makes you that. Say the blessing.
The blessing.
It makes me,
it makes
rich.
Me. Rich.
What makes you rich? The blessing. What does it matter what you look like right now?
No.
No, what matters is whether the blessing's on you or not, because that's what's making you rich. You see that?
Yeah.
You know, and other verses say, you know, it's not the work of your hands, but it's the power of God making you, well, the blessing is part of the power of God. Anyway, you're getting this. So it's unstoppable at finding a way. Say the blessing,
blessing.
That's on me,
that's on me.
Is unstoppable,
unstoppable
in finding a way.
Finding
it must do it. You see, it's on a job, it's on a commission to do it.
That's right.
Is this any good?
Yes.
So go to Deuteronomy 28. Is there anything good in Deuteronomy 28?
Mm-hmm.
The blessing, right? Yeah. So we're talking about the blessing. So let's just look at part of the blessing. We can't go through it all, but Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass. What's that sound like? Well, it sounds like it shall Say it shall come to pass. That sounds like the blessing making you do it. Shall happen. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day. Well, we know in our day and age we're following the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. In their day and age they had the law. Well, here it says, in our day, that command thee this day that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, or all the peoples of the earth, meaning you will be blessed above all people. You got all the people, and you're gonna be what? Above them. How? You will be blessed. The blessing will make you that way. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. What's going to happen? The blessing is going to come on you. You see that? Yep. The blessing is something that comes on you, overtakes you, if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Why? Because you were in the city, and then you were in the field.
That's right.
And the blessing is on you. And goes, you know, blessed coming in, blessed going out. Why would that be? Because you're the one going in, you're the one coming out. Where's the blessing? It's on you. Say, the blessing,
is
on me. And what's it there for? To make you rich. Amen. See, a lot of people have a problem with that. Can you imagine? You can feel the cringe when people hear it in churches. Why is the blessing on you? According to the scripture, to make you rich. And I'm showing you that this, look at this, the blessings come on thee, overtake you. You're going to be blessed above all the people, high above all nations. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. Why? Because the blessing is on you. You got to get this. The blessing is on you. Say, the blessing, is on me. It's not next to you, although it could be, I suppose, but the point is, it's on you to what? Proverbs 10:22, to make you rich. Who's doing this? God, the Holy Ghost, is blessing you for one purpose. There may be other purposes, but the one I'm talking about today is to make you rich. Amen. Are you here?
Yes.
Okay. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. Storehouses. Say houses.
Houses.
See? That's more than one. And in all that thou settest thine hand unto. Is your hand on you?
Yes.
So the blessing is on your hand. Are you here?
Yes.
And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives you lands. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself. Verse 10, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, shall be afraid of thee. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. What are goods?
Riches.
Goods are riches, goods are things.
Yes.
The blessing is on you to make you rich so you can have things.
Yes.
Are you here?
Yes.
Plenteous in goods, the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. I have a note here. It says a surplus of prosperity. Verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain to thy land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand, and thou shalt lend unto many, and thou shalt not borrow. Well, if you're going to lend to somebody, that means you have to have it in the first place.
Right?
Yes. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Why is this happening? Why are you being made the head? Because God likes you so much? No, because the blessing. Are you here?
Yes.
The blessing makes you the head. Say that. The blessing,
makes me the head.
Not the tail.
Not the tail.
You shall be above only. Say above only.
Above only.
What makes you above only?
The blessing.
The blessing that's on you. Thou shalt not be beneath. if thou shalt hearken to the commandment of the Lord thy God. Anyway, glory be to God. Are you getting this? So the blessing shall come on thee. It's an anointing that comes on you. For what? To make you rich. Is that scriptural?
Yes,
we have scriptures for it. Would it be wrong to believe God for that, and that to believe that that's what God wants for you?
No,
you'd be wrong to believe the opposite, which most people do. The blessing shall come on you, and it shall make you rich. Look at verse 11 again. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. You see that?
Yes.
You see the word make there?
Yes.
Does that look an awful lot like the word make that was in Proverbs 10:22? The blessing makes rich.
Mm-hmm.
Looks very similar to that word.
Yes.
Spelled the same way in everything.
Yes.
So the blessing is making you plenteous in goods, and the blessing is making you rich. Say, the blessing,
blessing.
Is making me
plenteous
in goods. And
the blessing
is making me rich. Where is the blessing? It's on me. Are you getting this? Well, I'm happy about it. Go to Galatians chapter 3. That was Old Testament, brother. All right. Well, let's go to the New Testament then. Galatians. Hallelujah. Is this any good?
Mm-hmm.
It's just causing faith to come.
Yes.
It should be. It's the word. Galatians chapter 3. There's a lot we could do here, but let's just go. We'll get right to the point. Let's look at verse 9. So then, they which be of faith. Are you of faith?
Yes.
That is what we, the just shall live by faith. Our righteousness is of faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
They that be of faith, say, I be of faith.
I be of faith.
Right? They that be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Was Abraham blessed?
Yes.
Was he blessed financially?
Yes.
Did the blessing on Abraham make him rich?
Yes.
The same blessing. You are blessed. They that be of faith are blessed with. What does that mean? Are you saying I'm blessed with the same blessing that was on Abraham? It's the same blessing.
Mm-hmm.
They that be of faith are blessed. I are blessed. It says are blessed.
Mm-hmm.
I am blessed. But to say it this way, I are blessed. Why? Because I'm of faith.
That's right.
And I'm blessed with faith. It's the same blessing. They that be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let's look down at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing, the very same blessing of Abraham, might come on the Gentiles. What's it going to do?
Come on
them. Come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the same blessing that's on Abraham, you gotta learn how to get this into your head and wrap your mind around it. The same blessing that was on Abraham, came from God on Abraham, is on you. Why is it there? To make you rich like it made Abraham rich. It's the same blessing. Would the same blessing be doing something different on you than it was on Abraham?
No.
How could that even be? It's the, if the blessing has a job to do. It has a job assignment. Say this, blessing.
Blessing.
Make me rich.
Make me rich.
Now, that it might come on you, it says that, through faith. Well, that's why it's good to understand how faith works. Faith comes by hearing. You should have more faith now than you had before. Faith comes by hearing. But the one thing you can do, faith is activated by your words.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
That's how we walk by faith. The blessing is activated in your life by words. The blessing is activated by your words. Say, the blessing
is activated
by my words. See, because all this blessing is supposed to be on everybody that has believed in Jesus. You understand that?
Yes.
So it's just there, but it's lying dormant because they're not in faith. And when you're in faith, you have to decree something, you say something, right? So this blessing is activated by words. You don't have to turn there. Romans 10:6 says that the righteousness of faith speaks. What saith it? It says the word. The righteousness of faith speaks. Well, if we be of faith, then we're Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise, meaning the same blessing is on me, is on you. Are you here?
Yes.
Is this any good?
Yes.
So let's activate this blessing. Say this blessing,
blessing
that is on me. Make me rich. The same blessing that is on Abraham is on me. It is now making me, making me rich. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here I go, it's a miracle. I've changed from oppressed to poor, I'm not the same. I've been changed ever since you called me. Here I go, it's a miracle. I've changed from oppressed to poor, I'm not the same. I'm changing into your image.
Yes, Holy Ghost.
Sure you do, because, well, you had one earlier. We like to use that around here. It's a good thing to have, good thing to base your life on. Scriptures. How do you know when something's scriptural? You have scriptures for it.
That's right.
Yes. All right? Well, we're going to talk about some scriptural things today that maybe not everybody even agrees with, but we'll see. Let's see. Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Glory be to God forever. Colossians, you find it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's pray. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you are God in the earth today, and we walk with you by saying words. I thank you for transforming us into your image from glory to glory. We receive it. We believe it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, Colossians chapter 3. I hope you're ready for this. Some people won't like it. But that's not unusual. There's a lot of things people don't like. Colossians chapter 3, but you're going to like it.
Yeah.
Colossians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 10. And have put on the new man. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Well, not the old man. Stop acting like the old man. You know, some people need to get that into their head.
Mm-hmm.
You're a new man. Stop acting like the old man, right? And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You still here?
Yes.
He's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Yes.
Whose image are you renewed in? You're renewed in knowledge after the image. Say the image.
The image.
The image of him that created him. Or you could say recreated him, because we know that's what happens. When you're born again, right? You're recreated.
Mm-hmm.
You were before. You were a spirit being before. Just had spiritual death. And then you were recreated. Right?
Yes.
The new man. Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, I'm going to say some things here, and it might be a strange concept to some, but Holy Ghost, I ask to be changed into your image. Now people go, what? How do you be changed into Holy Ghost's image? Well, that's what we're talking about today. Because he's the one that recreated you. In this verse of scripture, how is something scriptural? How do you know when something's scriptural? You have scriptures for it. You put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him. Say him.
Him.
Person that created him. Created him who? The new man. So anyway, this will be fun. Now it might be a strange concept for me to, for someone to go, oh, Holy Ghost, recreate me in knowledge after your image. I'm telling you, there's nothing as great as saying something like that. Now that shouldn't be unusual to someone who worships the Holy Ghost as God. Mm-hmm. Right? That doesn't sound so foreign. But if people don't worship the Holy Ghost and know him as God, then saying recreate me in your image, right? Mm-hmm. And that might sound strange, but it doesn't sound that strange to people who worship the Holy Ghost. But it will sound like a strange concept to people who don't worship the Holy Ghost. Are you here? So go to John. Take you to some very familiar scriptures, and you'll most likely, I'm hoping, believing, you will see it in a different light. You got a few minutes this evening.
Yes.
John chapter 3, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 3, we all know John 3:16, right?
Yes.
Well, let's look at John. This is before that. Let's look at John. Well, let's look at John 3. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again. That's where we get the words from. Mm-hmm. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Whose kingdom is this? It's God's kingdom. It's the kingdom of the Holy Ghost. I can take you to many other scriptures that bear that out. The kingdom is in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we know that the Holy Ghost is God. So he cannot see the kingdom of God unless a man's born again. Nicodemus said unto him, verse 4, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Who must the man be born of? The Spirit. Is that capitalized in your Bible?
Yes.
Sometimes they don't do it well, but here they did capitalize it. The Spirit, meaning the Holy Ghost. You must be born of the Holy Ghost. Recreated, regenerated by who? The Holy Ghost. Colossians said, Put on the new man, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him or recreated him. Who is it? Holy Ghost. So when I say, oh, I worship you, Holy Ghost, recreate me in your image, shouldn't be a foreign concept, but it is to most people. You still here?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's go to John. We're still in John. Go to John 20. Remember, we're going to be renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Well, there we see you must be born of the Holy Ghost or born of the Spirit. John chapter 20, and let's look at verse 19. And here we have the instance where almost any scholar I could find that knew talked about the new birth, they said this is the first instance of somebody being born again in the scriptures. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Look it up, study it on your own. This is the first instance. Let's look at this. Verse 19, John chapter 20, verse 19. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and the doors were shut, and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You still here? Verse 20-21. And then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, and as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive me into your hearts. Wait a minute, that's not what it said. What does it say? The first instance of someone being born again, the disciples being born again, born of the Spirit, Jesus said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he goes on to say, And whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. When someone is born again, their sins are remitted. Are you here?
Yes.
How did this happen? They received the Holy Ghost. Are you getting this?
Yes.
We're going to be renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created or recreated you. Whose image are we being recreated in? The Holy Ghost's image. Wouldn't it be good to know him as a person then? Otherwise you're just gonna be wacky and weird. But he's a person, and you're gonna be changed into his image, which is good because he's God in the earth today. He can help you out with this. So anyway, here's the first instance of people being born again in the Bible. And when it said receive ye the Holy Ghost, they received a work of the Holy Ghost in them, recreating them, because this is pre-Pentecost. The Holy Ghost didn't come on them in that capacity, the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, but he came into them and did a work. He recreated them, and we're supposed to be recreated in his image, the image of him that recreated us. Are you here? Anyway, are you getting anything out of this? I hope so. So go to 1 Corinthians, trying to lay a foundation here of what's happening. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12. There's a lot going on in this verse, in this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts or the things pertaining to the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. And that's part of what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't need to be ignorant. Now let's look down at verse 11. But all these worketh that one, say that one,
that one,
that one in the selfsame Spirit. Who would that be? The Holy Ghost. All these things are being worked by that one in the self same Spirit, dividing this every man severally as he wills. Are you getting this?
Yes.
He has a will. He is a self, and he's working all of the things. All of the things done in the earth today are being done by the Holy Ghost, including people getting born again. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. So when the Bible says put on the new man renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, who are we talking about? The Holy Ghost. Did I give you enough scriptures for this? Okay. After the image of the Holy Ghost. And then you say, Holy Ghost, I ask to be changed into your image. And the more you worship him, the more that's going to make sense to you. You still in Corinthians? 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 6. It's funny because I know a lot of people that hear that, you know, you hear these things and they go, oh yeah, yeah, I know that. A lot of people out there don't know these things. They don't get it. They don't know that, because they haven't worshiped the Holy Ghost yet enough to realize, number one, that he's a person, that he's living with them. Are you here?
Yes.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look down at verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple, right, of the Holy Ghost? Who's in you? The Holy Ghost. You're bought with a price. Glorify God. God who?
The Holy Ghost.
God the Holy Ghost in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which are his. Are you seeing this?
Yes.
So our job is to glorify the Holy Ghost who is living in us. Does he have a personality? Does he have a will? Does he have a mind of his own? Does he have likes? Does he have dislikes?
Yes.
We're supposed to be created, recreated into his image. Why? Because we're his temple. Is this making sense now? Glorify God in your body, his person, his thoughts, his words, after his image. Is this making sense?
Yes.
He wills to manifest in his temple. How is he going to do that? Through you. He lives in there with you. Your job is to glorify yourself. No, your job is to glorify him by thinking the way he thinks, speaking the words He wants spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Say, speaking the words.
Speaking the words.
He wants spoken.
He wants spoken.
Well, we're going to get into this. I'm a little ahead of myself, but what's one way to speak words that he wants spoken? Well, we can speak in tongues. We can speak scriptures, because we've already said those things, right? We can declare those things, but speaking in tongues is huge, because you're speaking words as he gives you utterance. So he wills to manifest in his temple. You think he does? He just moved in there because, hey, where else is he gonna go? No, he moved in there because he wants to manifest himself.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to manifest himself. He wants to manifest himself. Well, what is himself like? What is he like?
Mm-hmm.
What does he like? What does he say? What is he like? Not too long ago, the Holy Ghost said, if they knew me as God, they would worship me. Remember me saying that?
Mm-hmm.
If you knew him, the Holy Ghost, as God in the earth today, you would worship him. If they would worship me, he says, they would know me as God. It's kind of a catch-22. It works both ways. The more you worship him, the more you know him as God. Can you testify to this at all?
Yes.
If you worship him, you know him more as God. Isn't this true?
Mm-hmm.
No wonder the devil has kept this out of the church for years. If they knew me as God, they'd worship me. But if they'd worship me, they'd know me as God. And you'd know his personality, you'd know his words, you'd know his will, you'd know his ways, right? You'd be more changed into his image.
That's right.
From glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
This is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say, Holy Ghost, change me into your image, you can see that I'm not coming up with some wacky scriptural concept. This is the God's plan. He wants to manifest himself in your temple as himself. Are you seeing this?
Yes.
So the question is, how far do you want to go with this? How far do you want to take this? I've put a lot of stuff out there already, and most people go, oh yeah, I want to go so far. Well, most people won't go very far with that.
Mm-hmm.
Most people won't go very far with using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. I'm hoping to get you to go farther today. That's kind of my job here, right? How far are you willing to go with this? You have the living God in you, and he wants to manifest himself, and you are to be changed into his image. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
How far are you willing to go with this? How about complete change? Complete transformation. The Bible says changed and transformed from good to acceptable to perfect. Well, most won't go very far, but some must go here. Listen, I hope you heard that. Some must go here. Say, I must
go
here. And I'm telling you, you get caught up in this train of worshiping the Holy Ghost and knowing him as God in the earth today, you must go here. It becomes necessary, imperative. Are you seeing this? I get happy just thinking about it.
Well, I'm not happy about it.
Well, you might not have ever heard this before. Being changed into his image. Right?
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians. You knew I was going to go here eventually. 2 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 3. Is this any good? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's look at verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, say the Lord,
the
veil shall be taken away. Meaning your veil, your eyes will be opened, and you'll see who the Lord is. Now, verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. Why? Because we're in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, and he's Lord. Right? Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, Lord who? Holy Ghost, there is freedom. There's liberty. There's ability. There's power. There's a way. Are you seeing this? Verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of who? The Lord. The Lord who? Now the Lord is the Spirit. We're beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. What you see him, you understand, when he says as in a glass, he means as in a mirror. So you have to look into that mirror, and the one of the best ways is to worship him. Mm-hmm. You're looking in the mirror and you're changed into the image that you see. Are you getting this? You become a Holy Ghost person. And I don't mean, oh, I'm a Holy Ghost person just because you're Pentecostal. I mean, you literally become a Holy Ghost person. Mm-hmm. Say, I become a Holy Ghost person. And that means you know the Holy Ghost. And you begin to think like him. You talk like him. You act like him. You begin to dress like him. You begin to give like him. You begin to act like him. Are you here? And that gets better the more you know of him. Because people go, oh, I don't act like that. Well, you don't know him enough yet then. Right. You need to stay in there and keep beholding him. And then look what it says. You're changed into the same image. Metamorphosized. You're changed, transformed into the same image from glory to glory. From one level of glory to a better level of glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord again. Mm-hmm. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Whose image are you being changed into? The Holy Ghost's image. His thoughts. Not just your thoughts. That gets old after a while, doesn't it? How about his thoughts? Mm-hmm. His will. His ways in the earth. Whoo! His ways, his will. His things. Say his things.
His things.
You think the Holy Ghost has things? How about everlasting life? Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm.
You think the Holy Ghost got a good dose of it?
Yes.
Yeah, it came from his things. You're being changed into his things. How about youth renewal?
Yes.
Is youth renewal a thing?
Yes.
You're changed into his things, his thoughts, his things.
Amen.
And glory, we know, I mean, that's a whole other study, but glory, we know, means weight,
mm-hmm,
and wealth. Say weight and wealth. His wealth. We're changed from one glory, the glory of your wealth, to the glory of his wealth. I don't think you're getting this yet. Say the glory
of his wealth.
I'm changed. Say I'm changed into his image,
into his wealth.
My God shall supply all your need according to
his
riches in glory. How's this happening? You're being changed. He wants to manifest himself in his temple. We're being changed into his image, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this any good?
Yes.
How far do you want to go with this? You see that? You can go. Could you go farther?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think most of us could go a little bit farther here,
mm-hmm,
being changed into his image. That doesn't mean you're going to become God. Don't be goofy. Right? But he's going to be able to manifest himself more and more because you're supposed to glorify God in your body. That's your job. Wouldn't that be the job of the temple?
Mm-hmm.
To represent and let God manifest himself?
Yes.
This any good?
Yes.
And it happens through worship anyway. Glory be to God forever. I'm excited about it. His glory. Well, what's that like? Think about it. We're looking at the Holy Ghost. We're being changed into his image from glory to glory. What kind of glory does he live in? Guarantee you he's good looking.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot better looking than all of us put together. Do you get that?
Mm-hmm.
How about hit, you know, how long's he been around? Does he think he's got a grip on youth renewal?
Yes.
How about healing? Look, he does all these things.
Right.
He quickens your mortal body. All these things are what the Holy Ghost does. Where is he? Yeah, the Holy Ghost heals people and the Holy Ghost can bless people and prosper people. Well, where is he? He's in you. He wants to manifest himself,
mm-hmm,
in his temple. Anyway, You still here? God, Holy Ghost living in you, wants you. He told me this. You can receive it or not. God said he wants you to have some things. Now, a lot of people will be against that. Well, he doesn't want the things to have you. You know, if something ever gets a hold of you, you might have to give it away. But you understand, he wants you to have some things. Does God have things? Some of the things we're talking about youth renewal, right? Part of it's prosperity, though. God wants you to have some things. We looked at the blessing earlier, remember that, in the offering time. What did the blessing do? Made you rich. It brought things to you. Listen to me, God wants you to have some things. Can you imagine that? Flying in some churches, they'd be like, no, God wants to take everything away from you and strip you, and you can go live in a cave until the rapture, and then that's it, it's over. No. Are you going to have things in heaven? Yeah. Pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How about the Holy Ghost? Does he have any things? He owns the heaven and the earth. God wants you to have some things. Well, let's just look at this briefly. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Now think about it. We're talking about the Holy Ghost being changed into his image. He wants you, his temple, to have some things. Now go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at verse 31. Is this any good?
Yes.
It must be. It's in red. So Matthew chapter 6 verse 31, therefore take no thought saying. What's the thing you first ought to do? Is not say something.
Yes.
Right? Don't take a thought that's the opposite of what God is saying. Don't say anything about it. Anyway, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, say all these things. Is he talking about things? He must be. Drinking, eating, clothing, wearing, right? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Does your heavenly Father know you have need of these things?
Yes.
God knows I need them. Say that. God knows I need all these things. Right? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now he tells you, why is he telling you this? He's telling you the way to get the things, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Is this true?
Yes.
Is it in red letters?
Yes.
Is it in your Bible?
Yes.
Does God want you to have some things? Yeah, then he has a way for you to do it. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of who? The kingdom of the Holy Ghost and his righteousness, his way of being right.
Yes.
What do we know about the number one way of being right in the kingdom of God? Is by saying the right things. That's why, remember, he said up top there, he said, take no thought saying the wrong thing. Anyway, you getting anything out of this? I hope so. So all things added to you, it must be God's will, and if it is God's will, that must be his plan.
Yes.
So when I say things like God wants you to have some things, God living in you wants you to have some things, that's not contrary to scripture. He knows you need the things.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes from the Holy Ghost, his kingdom. Who's in you? Holy Ghost, his kingdom. Holy Ghost, his kingdom. Holy Ghost, his kingdom. Whose kingdom is it? The Holy Ghost. We're changed into his image, into his kingdom and his righteousness. Are there any things in that kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his righteousness. Righteousness, his order, his fashion, his way of doing things. If we're changed into his image, are we going to do them his way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are we going to get good at righteousness?
Yeah.
Are we going to get good at his kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
It's his kingdom.
Yes.
All right, quickly go to Acts chapter 10. Is this all right?
Yes.
Acts chapter 10. Oh goodness. Let's look at verse 34. You there? Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Who are we talking about? God the Holy Ghost is no respecter of person. God the Holy Ghost, who lives in you, that we're being changed into his image, is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, that must include yours, he that fears him. What's another good word for fear? Worships him. In every nation, he that worships him, who? Him, the Holy Ghost. I worship you, Holy Ghost. He in every nation, he that worships him and works righteousness. Is it work sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Works righteousness is accepted with him. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to worship God and work righteousness. Worship God and speak the right words. I know that saying I worship you, Holy Ghost, is the right words, but you need to worship God as his temple and speak the right words. His kingdom, his righteousness, and the things will be added to you.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning he accepts you. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
If I serve God or worship God and work righteousness, I'm accepted. He accepts that. He likes that.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen, this is what the Holy Ghost told me to tell you. If you will worship me and pray in tongues, I will make you rich. If you will worship me and pray in tongues, I will make you rich. Who will make you rich?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost, who's living in you. You're worshiping him. Holy Ghost, I worship you. And then you pray in tongues. Hate lupushkanano rede bukurius vado. What will he do?
Make you
rich. See, because I'm in his kingdom by worshiping him, and I'm working righteousness because I'm speaking. The righteousness of faith speaks. Now, if you will worship me and pray in tongues, I will make you rich. Does that make you happy at all?
Yes.
Now, it's not only money.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
Riches, because there are people that have a lot of money and they're just sick. Or you know, they're crazy. They want to just kill themselves for some reason, right? We all heard this. Not only money, but in health. He'll make you rich in health. Think about this. Am I still here? The Holy Ghost is living in you. You're worshiping him. You're speaking his words. You understand that when you speak in other tongues, you're speaking in agreement with what he once said. He, the one living in you, will make you rich, not only in money, but rich in health, rich in youth renewal, rich in no lack, rich in wisdom. Say, rich in wisdom.
Rich in wisdom.
Who's gonna do this?
The
Holy Ghost, who's living in you, and you're being changed into his image. I'm not off topic. We're being changed into his image, and as we worship him, we're changed into his image of what wealth is. You understand? If you will worship me and pray in tongues, I will make you rich. Not only in money, but in health, in youth renewal, wisdom. Now, I need to say this again because I know this comes up an awful lot. What do you mean by worshiping the Holy Ghost? I don't mean that you just play your favorite songs and say, "Oh, now it's time to worship." I'm telling you, most people, maybe you don't know this, you probably do, most people think it's just the music portion of the service, that's what worship is, right? That's not what I'm talking about. That's fine if that's the way you want to think about it, but it's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is using the words, "I worship you, Holy Ghost." Say, "I worship you,
I worship you,
Holy Ghost."
Holy.
That is you as a temple opening your mouth and worshiping God. You understand that? And you say it over and over again. You can say it over and over really fast if you want to. Worship you, Holy Ghost. To worship you, Holy Ghost. To worship you, Holy Ghost. I worship you, Holy Ghost. To worship you, Holy. And I'm telling you, for a period of time. Oh, that sounds crazy. Well, then the angels are crazy. Remember, the angels will sit there and say holy, 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 holy all day long. Yes. What's wrong with them? They demented? No, they're angels, and they're not smarter than most people. Psalms 34:1 says, his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Well, if it's continually in your mouth, it's in your mouth more than once. Mm-hmm. It means continue. I worship you, Holy Ghost. I worship you, Holy Ghost. And as you do that, you'll begin to see him as God in the earth today. And as you worship him, you'll know him and be changed into his image from one glory to the next glory, because you'll see him as he is.
Yes.
A person. God, creator of heaven and earth. His kingdom, his righteousness equals things. Remember that? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things are added to you. If it wasn't his will for you to have the things, it wouldn't be his will for you to be in the kingdom and walking in his righteousness. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So in his kingdom, we're worshiping him. The righteousness of faith speaks. I guess we can turn there. You're pretty quick. Go to Romans chapter 10. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Holy Ghost, and his righteousness. We're learning how to walk with him in his kingdom, mm-hmm. as his temple, being changed into his image. Romans chapter 10, let's look at verse 3. For they, being ignorant of the righteous of God's righteousness, is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
Says so right there. People were being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own method of righteousness, have not submitted themselves,
submitted themselves
unto the righteousness of God. You see, because they want it some other way. But here it says, let's look down here, verse 6, it says, but the righteousness which is of faith, what?
Speaks.
You want it some other way. Everybody wants it some other way. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks. Mm-hmm. So if you're seeking his kingdom, kingdom of the Holy Ghost, and his righteousness, you're going to be speaking. Right?
Yes.
Look down at verse 8. But what saith it? What saith it? The word. So one way of being and speaking and doing righteousness, which adds the things, you're in the kingdom, you're speaking righteousness, is by speaking the word. Are you here? You're working righteousness. They that worship him and work righteousness are accepted with him. You're worshiping him, you're working righteousness by speaking righteousness, and you're accepted with him. Now go to Romans chapter 8, a couple chapters back. Praying in tongues or speaking in the Spirit is one of the ultimate forms of working righteousness. Why would that be? You're speaking his words. We know that they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance, and you can get better at it. Right? You can get more defined at it. That's part of why we speak in tongues so much, is so we can learn how to enunciate the things that he once said.
Yes.
You understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the more we do that, the more we're walking in righteousness. Mm-hmm. One of the ultimate forms of righteousness. If you worship me and speak in tongues, I will make you rich.
Mm-hmm.
You see what's going on here? Romans chapter 8, what are we looking at, Gary? 11's good. The Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead, who would that be?
Holy Ghost.
What's he gonna do? Make alive your mortal body. That's one way of knowing him. You think he wants to do that? He's in you. Let's look over verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. The base word there of infirmities is actually sickness. Did you know that?
Yes.
The Spirit, where is he?
Yes.
He's in you. Is he sick?
No.
When you observe him, do you get sicker?
No.
No, you observing him, you start to take on his image. He's pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. He's a healthy guy. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities or weaknesses. So I like to put other words in there. Inabilities, lacks, shortcomings, downfallings, whatever, you're not getting straight. You understand?
Yes.
Like the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what to say for as we ought or pray for. You understand?
Yes.
We don't know how to say. What are we talking about here? Righteousness. We don't know how to speak as we ought. We don't know how to righteousness as we ought. Are you getting any of this?
Yes.
But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings. I've preached on this before. You do yourself a lot of favors, put a little period right there, with groanings. The Spirit himself, who are we talking about?
The Holy Ghost
makes intercession for us with groanings. He speaks on our behalf.
Yeah.
Is that any good?
Yes.
Are you telling me that you can allow and get the Holy Ghost to speak on your behalf with your groanings? That means with your speaking in other tongues.
Yes.
And you don't want to do that very much. Is that what you're telling me?
Mm-hmm.
No. See, if you worship him and speak in his languages, it's the ultimate form of working righteousness. Can you imagine? You know, if I was the Holy Ghost, which I'm not, but I'm becoming more like him,
mm-hmm.
on the day of Pentecost, I would give people, when I came into the earth, the first thing I would do is give them the ability to say words that I want them to say.
Yes.
And to do it as much as they are willing to do it. Why would that be? Because that's them working righteousness in the earth. He speaks for us, right? Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with our groanings. Remember, he's not going to speak without you opening your mouth. You have to open your mouth. He speaks for us with our groanings.
Yes.
Because we're speaking as he gives us utterance. And he things that could not be uttered before, things that we could not utter. You understand? Verse 27, he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, or according to his will, according to his plan.
Mm-hmm.
Working righteousness. And then verse 28, say then. Verse 28. Verse 28 doesn't happen until you do 26 and 27. You understand?
Yes.
Then 28, and we know all things working together for good.
Yes.
And we know all things work together for good. We know the power and the manifestation of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Say things.
Yes.
Does God want you to have some things?
Yes.
Has he given you a method by which you can have the things? Yes, his kingdom and speaking righteousness. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, or call according to his purpose. Are you getting any of this?
Yes.
So all things working together for good. Now I'm going to make another statement. You still here? You got a little bit more room?
Mm-hmm.
Praying in tongues. We know how we got here, right? We know we're worshiping the Holy Ghost. We're being changed into his image. We're having his things manifest. His healing, his youth renewal, his prosperity. We're in his kingdom. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
I'm being changed into his image, and he's being able to manifest himself in his temple the way he wants to be manifested in his temple. So listen, praying in tongues. And I haven't got all of this yet. I'm still working on it. So this is hot off the press. Praying in tongues is somehow connected. And we can see it in what we just read here. Connected to lands and property and cars and houses and equipment. He wants you to have things. He doesn't want the things to have you. He wants you to have the things. Say, he
wants
me
to
have
the
things. Remember, you're his temple, right? Now, if you don't have to turn there, Ephesians 4:12 talks about the full equipping of the saints so they can do what they need to do. Say, full equipping.
Full equipping.
Well, if you're going to be fully equipped, you're going to have some things, right? Praying in tongues is connected to having these things. I hope you can see some of this right now. Now, Philippians 4:13, you don't have to turn there either. I can do all things. You can have all things through Christ. Now, what is the other word for Christ? The anointing that strengthens you. What's the anointing that strengthens you? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. I can have, I can do all things through the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing. Are you getting this?
Yes.
It's not all about you, it's about the anointing. It's about his kingdom. It's about his righteousness. It's about him living in you and you being changed into his image and him being able to manifest himself through you in the earth. His anointing, that's what his anointing's there for. Are you here?
Yes.
Not just to make you better looking, that will happen, but it's so he can manifest himself. Philippians 4:19 says, things his riches and glory, his riches, his kingdom, his righteousness, speaking in tongues, his things, glory. Are you getting any of this? See, he wants to come out, he wants to manifest himself through you, and the only way he can do that is for you to be changed into his image from glory to glory. Go to Jude chapter 20. See, I think we're pretty much done here. Jude chapter 20. I mean, it's quite a process being changed, and it takes time to be changed into the image of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that?
Yes.
First of all, that sounds so foreign to most people, because they haven't worshipped him enough to know that that's where they're supposed to be going. But as you worship him more, you see him, right? And you're changed into the image that you're seeing. When you start to know that he's the healer, what happens to you? You get healed. What happens when you start to see him as the provider or prosperer? What happens to you? You get provided for it and prospered and blessed. You're being changed into his image. It's not about you, it's about the anointing, it's about him. Anyway, Jude, what's a good verse here?
20.
Yeah, Jude 20. Woo! Let's look at verse 19. But they who are separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. What don't they have?
The Spirit.
So we're talking about the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy. Say, most holy.
Most holy.
Most holy faith. What would most holy be? That would be the most holy.
Yes.
Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Am I speaking about some most holy faith today? Because we're talking about the Holy Ghost, his faith, his words, saying his words. That what is he even talking about here? Saying his words.
Yes.
You, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, saying his words, praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking the holy words. Now, every word of God has faith within it. Faith comes by hearing. If faith comes by hearing, then there must be faith in the word that you heard, right? But you're speaking God's words in other tongues, praying in the Spirit, and you're being built up on your most holy faith, which happens to be his most holy faith. Are you getting this?
Yes.
His faith, his words, Holy Ghost faith, Holy Ghost words, Holy Ghost your faith, Holy Ghost your words, Holy Ghost your image. You see what's happening here?
Yes.
We're being changed into his image. Holy Ghost his healing power, his youth renewal, his provision, his riches in glory. Say his riches in glory. And we're not talking about just the glory in heaven. That's where people have put it off to. His riches. He has glory. You understand?
Yes.
Well, he will manifest himself as God in his temple. Do you suppose that that's his point? That that's what his whole object of this whole thing is? Is to manifest him. Why did he come? Why are you the temple? To glorify God, the Holy Ghost, in your body, in his temple. What glorifies it? The things that he wants is what glorifies him. I think you're getting this. So, into his image, if you will worship me and pray in tongues. Do you see how this is connected to what we're talking about? When you worship him, you see him as he is, you're changed into his image. You first of all get on the right track of knowing that that's where you're going. And then you're praying in tongues, you're speaking his faith, right?
Yes.
Being built up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit, you're working righteousness. And he says, if you will worship me and pray in tongues, I will make you rich. You will make you rich? Who's going to make you rich? It's kind of what we're talking about in the offering. The blessing comes on you and makes you rich. If you worship him and pray in tongues, he makes you rich. You're changed into his image. Is he rich?
Yes.
Who would even dare say that God isn't rich? Is he?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. He is the richest of all. If you worship him and you pray in the Spirit, he will make you rich. So let's just look at one more verse of scripture, because you haven't gotten up and stormed off. Isaiah 1. Isaiah chapter 1, let's look at verse 18 to put this in context here. Come now, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And as they be red, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Have you ever heard this before?
Yes.
You think most people have a problem with this? No. Most people stop there, though.
Yes.
They would say, oh, that's included. Well, let's look at verse 19. Just keep reading. If you be willing, listen, the Holy Ghost saying this to you. If you will be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Who's saying this?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost who's in you. Is it his will for you to eat the good of the land?
Yes.
If it's his will for your sins to be forgiven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to be made as white as snow, it's just as equal. His will for you is to eat the good of the land. But you must be willing and obedient. Is this any good?
Yes.
So we need to commit to speaking in tongues more and worshiping the Holy Ghost more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this to myself. I worship the Holy Ghost a lot and I speak in tongues a lot. But I've heard him say to me tonight that if I will worship him and speak in tongues, he will take over and make me rich. He will be able to manifest himself in the way he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting this? Here it says we need to obey and serve. What about that? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. There's another verse that says if you obey and serve him. Serve is worship. Obey is you should be speaking in tongues more. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this any good? You blessed?
Yes.
Say this after me. Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost,
I worship you.
And
I commit to worshiping you and speaking
you
in tongues
until
you can manifest yourself
in me.
In and through me, and make me rich in all areas of life which pleases you. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In my life,
in Jesus' name,
amen.